Greg Lancaster, and I trust that you enjoy this teaching from God's Word, equipping the saints to do the work of the church to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Enjoy.
BFN family, well, today we're picking up at part two. Is the nation of America, under the judgment of God? We're just looking at the evidence. You know, in our first part of this teaching, it's a two-part teaching, we began to look at that. Remember that just presenting the evidence. We weren't going to make any decisions until we actually looked at the evidence. But if the evidence said that America was under judgment, then we were going to make the right decision and understand what we needed to do and how we respond to that. And we actually found out also that God uses judgment. He brings, he shakes the earth, brings judgment to the earth for the purpose of teaching the people on the earth, everybody, righteousness. In other words, to acknowledge Him and His ways. And so He literally uses judgment to be able to bring His people back to Him. So He's a loving God, and He wants the people He loves, who's turned away from Him, to turn back to Him, because He wants that relationship. But we have a free will. And so judgment begins to is hardship, and God is using that hardship to bring us back and discipline us, and that we would turn back and repent of our sins. And we're found out what wickedness was, that things that we just called sin or just mistakes or issues in my life, we found out it's wickedness. It's wickedness. God calls it wickedness, and wickedness suppresses the truth, literally nullifies it, makes it not effect. And literally that means that we cannot be set free, for it's only the truth that sets us free. So when you bring the truth up in the presence of wickedness, it hits like this. And so we have to realize that if I'm going to live for God, there's going to be a lot of these encounters. We're going to confront wickedness. We're going to drive out evil demons. We're going to point out evil spirits and command them to go. Why? Because wickedness has no place in the church. And so we're actually finding out, if we have to go into phase two, you know, we found out that America has met the criteria. They are doing what they weren't supposed to be doing in phase one, you know, not thanking God, not being grateful, having futile thinking, being unfruitful in their life, and not bringing glory to God. So now we're going to look into phase two. So go into phase two of judgment, since we didn't respond yet to phase one. We're going to go into phase two. Let's find out if America is in phase two of judgment. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 25 and 27. Romans chapter 1, verse 25 and 27. He says, they exchanged, so they continued sinning, they progress now, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. So let's find out if phase two, we enter into phase two, if what? If we begin to worship and serve things rather than God, and if we actually exchange God's truth for a lie. Now, exchanging the truth for a lie, somebody says, well, that's green, and it's green, but somebody says, we're just going to call that blue from now on. And everybody just starts calling it blue. Well, the statement saying it's blue is a lie because it's green. Somebody says, well, I don't know where you got that from. I don't know who even named colors anyway. I think we should call that blue. Okay, let's just do that. Let's say this is green. This is the Word of God. This is how it is. And somebody says, well, you know, I don't know who called that green anyway. I think it should be blue. I don't think marriage should be that way. I don't think children should act that way. I don't think my finances should be that way. I don't think my life should be that way. I think it's, you know, exchanging, saying this is not important anymore. Somebody who doesn't abide or wants to spend time, they said, this is not important. I don't need to know the truth. And so the question is, moving into phase two, has America, the Church of America, exchanged the truth for a lie, and they worship and serving created things rather than God. Here's just some of the lies that are being promulgated today in America that accepted as truth. It's amazing how you talk to people who say they know God's word, and when they talk God's word, they're actually saying the opposite of what God says. And you tell them, so no, you got to say this, by the way. You got to say, well, no, actually, God's word doesn't say that. This is what God's word says. If not, you're letting a lie exist in that point. Okay, let's just say some lies. These are some lies that presently are being accepted as truth. In other words, God says it should be this way. But the lie is, it doesn't matter. Let's just do it this way. And nobody's saying anything about it. Remember, they're making doctrine around it, and they're creating things to be able to support that, saying this is the way things are going now. So I'm going to read some lies to you that are accepted as truth. The first one is, the husband is no longer the head of the wife like Christ is the head of the church. That's no more. That doesn't happen anymore. So God's word said he is, but today's church says he isn't. What does he do with that? Children are not required or expected to obey their parents. It's just an option they have. Parents should not discipline their children. Pastors, apostles, should do as they are told by men and not by God. Fleshly family, biological family, trumps spiritual family in decision making. There's no authority in the church. What do you mean telling me what to do? Now, these are true. Is this not how things are being run today? What does that mean? They exchange the truth for this. Wickedness. This is called wickedness, what I'm talking about. You can watch sexual immorality on your TV, DVD player, a movie screen, but you just can't physically perform sexual immorality. That's a truth that people are living by, which is actually a lie. But they've accepted that. You can lust in your heart towards a woman or a man, and that's not sin, as long as you don't do anything. God's truth does not divide. Husbands, obey your wives. Kingdoms and homes divided, they don't fall. Mothers, obey your children. You can kill the baby as long as it doesn't pass through the birth canal. God has changed. The Bible is an old book and based only on those customs of that day and that time. And customs have changed. It's just not the way it was. Not giving God his tithes and offerings is not robbing God. Me arguing with my children's father will not destroy my children. If I leave my wife, I am not leaving my children. My children will do okay without a father in their day-to-day life. These are all lies, but today's church is living by these lies as truth. And this is not what God's word says. As long as I want to follow Jesus, i.e. be his disciple, it doesn't really matter if I ever really do. It's the wanting to. I said a prayer, I'm saved. I believe in Jesus. That's all I need to do. I'm not God's enemy just because I'm friends with the world. God doesn't judge nations. God's people are not supposed to be separate from the world. There's a logical explanation for everything that happens on this earth. For all the hurricanes, let me explain to you how hurricanes happen. This is why it happened. For the flood, this is why the flood happens. Let me explain to you why the American economy crashed. 15 million people don't have a job today, and they're losing their homes left and right. It's just, you know, it's just this, you know. Oh, let me explain to you why there's earthquakes scattered in the land and it's shaken to its core. Yeah, it's okay. This happens every billion years. Let me explain to you why the volcanoes shut down flights. It's like warning signs. Oh, I told you the truth. I'm sorry. It's not a big deal. Volcanoes go off all the time. 61,000 flights canceled a day was no big deal. Kings stuck in airports in New York, no big deal. They couldn't get back to their castles or run their kingdoms. Oh, yeah. And the financial collapse of America? It's no big deal. We'll get through this. You don't need to repent. God just loves you. Continue in your sexual immorality. It's okay. It's all right. Continue in your wickedness. America's leader, the president, says, America is no longer a Christian nation. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. By the way, Christian means Christ follower. Oh, I didn't mean to tell you the truth. Christian means somebody who said a prayer. The evidence is in. I think I've presented enough evidence to you at this point to let you know that America is definitely in phase one and phase two of God's judgment. You know that's taking place. You know that the truth has been exchanged for a lie. You know that. And when you bring the truth up, it's like bringing up a bomb. It's like wickedness and truth. Bam! Maybe the truth does divide. Because everything I said was a lie. And the opposite of that is truth and written in the Word of God. But you know, you've seen the evidence. You've seen this in your very own life. You've seen these lies being promulgated as truth. I'm just presenting a case. That's all I'm doing is presenting a case. Is America under God's judgment? So, yes, I would say the church has exchanged the truth for a lie. Although they know God, they exchange the truth for a lie. And the second part of that is, has the church or has America worship and serve the created things rather than the Creator? I mean, you can abruptly go to the answer, but let's look at the evidence first. First, what does worship even mean? Worship means this: reverent honor, homage paid, sacred personage, formal ceremonial renderings such as honor, adoring, reverence, regard, adoration, beautification, devotion, love, offerings, praise, respect, reverence. Is the church worshiping things rather than worshiping God? I don't know. George Barna says in his study of the church, the regular church-going attenders that attend church at least twice a week, that only 3% of them even honor God with the tithe. And that 3% don't even follow God fully in the tithe and do what he says and bring it into the storehouse. What does that mean? I think the other 97% is buying things. They're taking what is God's, who actually gave them the increase, and actually buying things with it instead of honoring God with it. I wonder if America's under judgment. The reason why they're not giving and honoring God is because they want to buy more things and support and pay more for more things that they have going, the things and the stuff that they honor more than they honor God. When you choose to do or buy or spend what is God's, the tithes and the offerings, on things, we're worshiping things instead of worshiping God. We're worshiping things. You think about it. You know, we're worshiping things rather than God. You know, people, believers, they have cable television and more than one car. Do you know, a Manhattan Magazine writes that 50% of the Americans' income goes to food that they eat that's prepared outside their house. 50% of their income. They have the latest technology in phones and computers and gaming systems and sound systems and media to play the sexual immorality. in their life and their home. But they can't even give a few dollars to the beggar who lost his job on the side of the street. They don't even roll their window down in their second car to give a couple dollars. He that lends to the poor lends to God. They can't seem to honor God with the first 10% of their increase, even though He's the one that gives it to them. See, when we honor God, when we worship God, we honor Him, we're saying to God, when we honor Him with His tithes and offerings, because He gives us the increase, we're saying, God, I know You gave me this. Remember Hosea chapter 2? When I read that, He's saying, you don't understand, I give this to you. But when she repented, when Israel repented, she realized, hey, He gives it to me. So we're saying, when we honor God, we're saying, God, I know You're God of the harvest. Baal's not God of the harvest. And I'm honoring You and giving You Your tithes. We're saying, God, I want to just say thank You. Remember, the first phase of judgment came when we weren't thankful to God. When we don't honor God with tithes and offerings, we're not being thankful. We're saying, God, I just want to honor You with Your tithes and Your offerings. That's it. We're killing babies in the womb of their mothers because the baby is going to cost us our things. I think the evidence that I'm presenting to you, men are telling their wives, or wives are telling their husbands, or even telling their husbands, they go down and have that child aborted because it means that she will have to spend some of her money on another child. Or he will not be able to buy the boat that he wants to buy, or them go on the vacation. So they kill the baby in the womb because of the things. It's crazy, but it's true. The very God that's giving this increase, we can't even honor Him. Why? Because we aren't even acknowledging that He's the God of the harvest. We're just writing Him out of our lives if we're doing that. Do you really think this craziness can go on forever? Do you really think it can go on forever? Do you really think that God is going to continue to wink at this? Do you really think He's going to share His glory with the things in your life? Do you really think that God is not jealous? He's not a jealous God over what's going on, and you're loving that thing more than you're loving Him? Do you really think that there's not going to be a price to pay for a nation, for a church that has turned its back on God? Do you really think that a nation who refuses to repent and turn back to God and worship and serve Him rather than the things, that we're not going to be turned over to judgment? Do you really think that? Think about it. Do you really think that? It's because you believe a lie if you think that. You've exchanged the truth for a lie, a placebo gospel that you take but does nothing. Let's just talk about the facts. Do you see enough evidence that God's people, those that claim to be His, have begun to worship and serve things rather than God? Just presenting my case. I think the answer is yes, 3%. So what is the phase two of judgment? This is going to be interesting because we're about to talk about the phase two of judgment. And I've seen the church ridicule their harvest, but they don't realize that phase two happened because of phase one. Every level of judgment, the next level is a harvest of the seed that was planted in the previous people who refused to deal with their sin. Let's just see what it is. Look at the Romans chapter 1. So we say, yes, we're seeing that truth has been exchanged for a lie, and we're seeing that things are being worshipped rather and served rather than God. We're seeing that. So, boom, oh, here comes the next phase of judgment, which is Romans chapter 1, verse 26. And he says, because of this, what we just talked about, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relationships for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed in lust for one for another. Men committed indecent acts with one another and received in themselves the sexual transmitted disease and received in themselves 1 in 5 college students today and every year get an STD, sexual transmitted disease. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. I've seen so many people who walk around in wickedness, just not this wickedness, that produced this harvest that I'm talking about, and have no idea it was their adultery that produced the homosexuality. It was their dishonoring God that produced the twistedness that's happened in the sexual world. You think about it. It's a progression, this then this. If you repent, remember phase two don't happen, right? How can we prevent it, phase two? By responding to the righteousness of God and learning righteousness, right? Did the church do that? No, they didn't. What happened? Look what's happening right here. But let's make sure it might not be happening. I may just be reading to you. Let's kind of look at the evidence and see what's going on right here. Okay, what is the evidence in America that this is a reality? Okay, let's see. There is, let me see my evidence that I have here for this actually coming to pass. Based on the evidence, there is openly accepted and the practice of homosexual marriages in our nation. You see, you're seeing on the news when you see two women marrying each other and two men marrying each other. Do you know what? If my people who are called by my name would have humbled themselves back before phase one, during phase one, in the beginning of phase two, you wouldn't be seeing that on your news. That's a harvest. That's a harvest. And God loves them too. He loves you and He loves them. The truth needs to come in. That's the whole thing. You can't live a wicked life and preach a righteous gospel to your kids. You can't live a wicked generation and preach the next generation righteousness because your very wickedness repels the truth and nullifies what you're delivering to the next person. It's fruitless. And so there's openly accepted is a key word because we're going to find out about it, and approved of practicing homosexual marriages, homosexual adoptions. Two women marry each other and they're adopting children. Two men marry each other and they're adopting children. Open, accepted, and approved practicing homosexual leaders, senators, congressmen. Open, accepted, and approving of practicing homosexual soldiers. And the same thing for even homosexual ministers, where the churches, they have churches, they call themselves the church, and they're opening and saying they're practicing homosexuals in places of leadership in the church. I'm not saying that they were struggling with that, but that was something that God delivered them from. I'm not saying that. I'm saying they're openly practicing homosexuality, lesbianism, right there in the church. I'd say that we're in phase two. What's the church doing? Nothing. How can they say something? Look what they're in. How can one wicked man say to another wicked man, you need to be right? And you know what? When one wicked man says to another wicked man, you need to be right, you know what the other wicked man says to this wicked man? Right. Exactly. Just presenting the evidence. Just the evidence. Remember, all this judgment is not God writing us off. He's wanting to write us in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is what this is about. Don't think God's going, yeah. No. God's going, no, I want you to turn back to me. I gave you over to your lovers, like Hosea said to, like he said in the prodigal son. He gave them over to that. He just turns them over. He's turning a nation over. That's what's happening here. But he loves them. He loves you. And in the hardship that's going to happen in your life if you don't turn is only a loving father going, but I don't want you to die without me. I want you to receive my love. I want you to receive my son. I want you to repent. So I would say, based on the evidence, we're in phase two. It's so amazing how people in phase one who are openly refusing to repent are criticizing their harvest in phase two. It's just crazy. You know, by the way, there's not a different hell for different sins. There's one hell. You're going to be surprised if you make a choice to go there. Everybody you criticize will be there with you, lest they repent. And so the answer is, don't criticize people. The answer is, check yourself out and find out if they're your harvest. Find out, oh my gosh, measure yourself, check yourself and see if you're in the faith. Find out if you change the truth of God for a lie and you are too scared of a spirit of fear to be able to raise up and say, as for me and my house, for as for me and my church, for as me and my company, you know, as me and my nation, it's going to be God. God's right. I don't care. I don't care what you say. God is God. Amen. Hallelujah. Check yourself out. Are you honoring God? You think about this. Do you watch or act sexually impure in your heart or in your life? You're checking yourself. Don't be criticizing others. Check yourself. What are you watching? What are you seeing? Have you exchanged God's truth for a lie? How are you living with your family? What do they see in the day-to-day life? Sir, are you really the head of your wife like Christ is the head of the church? Or you just say you are, but everybody else leads because you don't want to? Do you lead your family under God's leadership? Ma'am, do you really submit to your husband's leadership? Check yourself. Find out. If you want to see a harvest of righteousness in your kids, you yourself repent and be righteous before your kids and let them see. Let them be a harvest of your life. Ma'am, are you constantly arguing with your husband when he's trying to lead your family? Are you constantly in contention? That's wickedness. That's wickedness. That's sin. Sir, are you really reading articles on the internet? Are you looking at sexual immoral pictures, images, and movies? Statistics say you're not reading the Times magazine. Man, let me ask you this, ma'am. Are you really watching these movies because you like them or because they stir up some sort of sexual immoral thoughts and passions inside of you? Just asking. Children, do you really want to a computer to do your homework? Are you really wanting to see be sexually immoral and look at those things that's being looked at on the internet? Do you know 12 to 17 year olds are the biggest viewers of internet pornography? This is internet pornography. Naked people touching body parts. That the word pornography has even been desensitized. We don't mean something. You're looking at naked people touching body parts and you're getting sexual pleasure out of that. That's wickedness. Wickedness. I mean, the word pornography has been used so much, that don't even mean anything to people. When you see it that way, see how wicked it is? That's just wicked. Become accountable. Get things in the light. Remember Ephesians 4 said, children, are you really trying to grow up and be a responsible adult? Children, are you really trying to grow up and be a responsible adult? Or are you just rebelling against your parents' leadership and trying to get away from them so you can go off and bow down to other gods and get caught up in sexual immorality? The evidence is in. It says America has been turned over to the first and the second phase of God's judgment. That's what it says. I'm just presenting the evidence. That's all I'm doing. But, you know, the purpose of judgment is to learn righteousness. And that's what I'm teaching. I'm teaching you the right way. This is the right way that we need to go. When we turn to the Lord, turn with Jude while we're talking. Jude has one chapter in it. That's the last book before Revelation. Jude chapter verse 10. He says, it says, these men speak abusively. These men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. And what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. Now listen to this. This is important. These men, verse 10, speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. They'll argue with you all day about religion, you know, but they don't know what they're talking about. And what things they do understand by instinct, they know that's not right. That's why you're doing it in darkness. That's why you're doing it when nobody's looking. That's why you're sneaking around and doing it. You don't want that to be in the light. The verdict is in. Like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy you. So literally, like an animal understands. You think about it. When a dog touches fire for the first time, guess what he doesn't do for the second time? He doesn't touch fire again. The dog knows that's hot, burns, it will destroy me. But what about you? Do you keep touching fire and keep getting burned? Do you keep breaking the law and you stay in jail? Do you keep overspending and stay in debt? Do you keep rebelling and stay unemployed? Do you keep being unteachable and you stay ignorant and in bondage? Do you keep watching pornography and you're staying in judgment? Do you keep hanging with bad company and you stay corrupt in your own personal character? You just can't get it together. Do you keep not abiding with the Lord and your life stays unfruitful, dried up, and unproductive? Even an animal understands, okay, fire hot. When I touch it, it burns me. I don't anymore. He's saying, listen, like unreasonable animals, the very things you know by instinct, this destroys you. This destroys you. Do you keep refusing to does this particular lady keep refusing to let her husbands lead her, and she just stays divorced and has fatherless children her entire life? Do you keep committing sexual immorality or sexual immoral acts and stay infertile or sick with STD or AIDS? Even dogs understand. Don't touch fire a second time. This is something you know. But see, the only way you can reach this place of repentance is not by you going, okay, I'm going to start doing right. You got to first acknowledge that you've been wrong. You got to first say, you know what? I have sinned. I have been involved in wickedness. Jesus, save me. I need you. Forgive me for my sins. And he does. And then you make him the Lord of your life, which means he calls the shots. You find out, like that baby did, what you need to do. You follow him until it becomes revelation to you. And then that's your way of life. Through the power of what Jesus did on the cross, trusting in his lordship, having a desire to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit will empower you to do just that. We've concluded then, the evidence is in, that God's word, God's ways, that sin, wickedness, unrepented for, doesn't just stay at an even level. It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. When they interviewed Bundy, who was somebody who raped and mutilated girls on college campuses, you know what he said he started with? He started with viewing pornography, but pornography he first viewed was a Sears catalog. He would actually look at the women in the underwear catalog, part of Sears, and that led, from there, it led all the way to murdering and raping girls on college campuses. That's his own personal interview done by Dr. James Dobson of Focus on the Family. Focusfamily.org, you can actually find that. Yes, that hardship and that what's coming against a nation is coming from a God that hopes that that nation repents, that His church's people turn back to Him. Yes, it's because He loves you. It's because He loves the nation. It's because He loves people. Don't think that He hates somebody because they got turned over to something. He loves them. You need to preach truth to them in love so that they can actually come into the kingdom of God. Yes, it's because He's a jealous lover. He loves you and He doesn't want to share you. Yes, if you don't repent, despite all of His judgment and all His jealous love that came your way, you're making a choice. You're making a choice. You're choosing hell. But it's totally against the will of God. That's not what He wants for you. It was not designed for you. That weeping and gnashing of teeth and eternal flames was actually built for the Satan and the demons is what it was built for. So I want to ask you this. I mean, so far the case is here. Is the nation under judgment? Genesis chapter 17 verse 10. You don't have to turn there. Under the old covenant, God says, He said this, The people that are mine, every male, I want you to take a knife and I want you to cut off a piece of their flesh. I want them to experience physical pain by being circumcised, and every male amongst you has to be circumcised. Isn't it interesting that God was dealing with that part, and yet sexuality is what He turns them over to? But yet pain had to be involved in that. But that's the old covenant. Let's look at the new covenant. Matthew chapter 18 verse. Let's go ahead and turn there. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Because the lie today says, oh, there's no, there's nothing like that today. Matthew chapter 18. I encourage you to get zero tolerance and listen to the series and understanding this. How to get free from these Jezebel's gods. Matthew chapter 18, it's actually verse 7. Jesus is speaking right here and He says, woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. And this is Jesus talking about. We just talked about the old covenant and the pain in the flesh, right? Jesus says, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands and two foot and be thrown into the eternal flames. It sounds like once walking with Jesus, not always walking with Jesus, doesn't it? It seems like we make choices. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to enter life with one eye then have two eyes and then be thrown into the fire of hell. Think about it. Oh my goodness. What Jesus is being preached today. Do you understand? If you stand up and say, listen, if you keep on sinning with that hand, I want you to cut it off. If you keep on looking at internet pornography with your eyes, I want you to gouge your eyes out so you'll never see internet pornography again. I'm not telling you to do that. But I'm telling you what God said, and I'm not changing it. That's what He said. That's what He said. Man. So, okay. So if God was okay with physical pain for them cutting their flesh under the old covenant, every male circumcised. And if Jesus had no problem even instructed, if your eye, your hand, or your foot causes you to sin, gouge it out or cut it off. Do you really think about this, do you really think He really accepts the excuse you give for not cutting that sin out of your life? I know there's a lie today that's been accepted, a truth that's been turned into a lie, and a lot of people accept it. It's no big deal. You don't need to cut it out of your life. After understanding what happened in the old covenant, now Jesus is saying, your hand, your foot, and your eye, if you don't deal with your sin, you're going to hell, He's saying. That's what He's saying. cut it out. Repent. Turn back to me. Do you think he really accepts the excuses that you've been giving for not cutting that sin out of your life? Do you really think that? Do you really think that he accepts the reasons you give for not leading your family, sir, the way Lord tells you to lead your family? He goes, oh, I totally understand. You don't have to cut that out. Just go ahead and lead your family any way you choose to do that. Do you really think that he accepts the reasons you give for the contention with your husband's leadership, ma'am? Do you think he really accepts that? Oh, he just changes everything for you. He don't say cut it out. He don't say gouge it out. He don't say cut it off. He just says you just keep on doing it. Do you really think that? You know why? Because that's the gospel that's been preached. It's a placebo gospel. It's not true. It don't work. Do you really think the reason that you give for the movies and the TV shows and the DVDs and all that that you watch that curse your God and violate the first 10 commandments, the reason how you write that off, do you really think he's okay with that? I know that you've been in America, and America's obviously under judgment, and it's everywhere. It's been given over to it. But you can turn to him. You can begin to speak truth, right? The reason, do you really think he believes this reason that you give for not obeying your parents? Do you really think he's okay with that? Do you think he really believes the reason and goes with it that you give for not following your church leadership? Do you really think that that's a good enough reason? Do you really think he accepts the reason for you not honoring him with his tithes and his offerings and your actions? Do you think that? Do you really think that? Do you really think it's no big deal that he accepts your reason that you give for exchanging his truths that are plainly written in his word for a lie? Do you really think that? That's how far this nation has gone. Do you really think he accepts the reasons that you're given for continually to live in a sexual, immoral lifestyle? Seeing it? Or doing it? Do you think he really accepts all that lust in your heart? You think he's okay with that? Do you really think he accepts the reason you give for continually giving yourselves over and practicing a homosexual lifestyle and a lesbian lifestyle? Do you really think he's okay with that? The answer is plain. No! He said, if it causes you to sin, gouge it out. If it causes you to sin, cut it off. He says, I love you. I understand your body's going to go through some hardship. You're going to have to say no to some things. You're going to have to go through some physical pain. It's not hard. It just hurts. You got to begin to say, no, I'm not going to serve the adversary. I'm not going to bow down to these gods. I'm not going to live a wicked life. I'm going to abandon all this wickedness, and I'm going to turn to God, and I'm going to divide myself from those who are wicked, who refuse to follow God, no matter who they are. Because I love him and he loves me. I'm not going to do it in a way, hopefully, that they one day will turn to him themselves. This is why there's judgment coming on our nation. I presented the case. If you follow me through this whole teaching, you're seeing the case. The evidence is prominent. It's everywhere. Whew. Praise God. Thank you for your truth. And the purpose of God's judgment is for us to come back to him. Don't just say, God's not throwing his hands up. God's systematically releasing judgment on the people in hopes that they're going to repent and come back to him. Hoping that they repent. He loves you, but you got to repent. It's a choice. It's a free will. He's not going to touch your will. To turn back to him, once again, or for the first time, he's waiting. Do you know that it's me that's blessing you? Do you know that it's me that's giving you air? Do you know it's me that gave you the finances and the house that you live in and the car that you drive in and the health that you have and the kids that you have? And do you know that's me? Many are the plans in your heart, but it's always been my plans that have been prevailing in your life. Did you know that all good things come from me? Do you know I love you? You've been turning your back on me. I'm hurt. I love you. I'm jealous for your love. I don't want you loving those other gods. I don't want you giving credit to your lovers instead of me being the one that provides for you. If you don't turn, I'm going to release judgment. But understand, it's from the loving hands of a father that wants you to turn back to him. Consider hardship as discipline. He's treating you as a son. Holiness is separating from the world, from darkness. He's wanting you to acknowledge your sin, to acknowledge his son, to acknowledge his holiness. He's wanting you to acknowledge what Jesus did on the cross, that he died for your sins, the horrific price that was paid for the wickedness that was supposed to be left in your life. Ask Jesus to save you. Call it, Lord Jesus, I need you. He'll give you the revelation to begin to walk in the foundations of faith. Begin to get close to somebody who's walking a righteous life, not somebody who's walking a wicked life. Not a mixed drink, if you would. Half the world and half God, as that could be. Look for somebody that's solid on the rock, Jesus Christ. And as you walk, he's going to give you revelation, just like the baby who didn't even cross their mind to do right, followed the instructions of his parents just because they told him to, and he trusted his parents. Eventually it became revelation to him and he got set free and he no longer lived a messy life. That's how it works. If you follow my teachings, you're really my disciple, and you'll know the truth. It'll be revealed to you and you will be set free. There's one last part I want to talk to you about. Look at Romans chapter 1 verse 28. Romans chapter 1 verse 28. We can be so far turned over to this judgment that even what I'm telling you now might not even stir your heart. And if it doesn't stir your heart, you're so far turned over to it. You need to scream out and cry, God, I've fallen. I am so far away from you. And that's all he wants. He wants you just to reach out to him and he'll reach out to you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 28. He says, Furthermore, since they did not think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind. There's another phase. And this phase starts, although they knew God, they didn't think it was worthwhile to keep his Ten Commandments up in the courtroom. Although they knew God, they didn't think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God in their public squares. Think about the evidence. Just the evidence now. We're looking at the evidence and then we're going to make a decision. Taking God, the knowledge of God, from our schools. And Christians continue to send their kids to a school that denies him. You got a twofold thing going there. Twofold thing. One is they're openly saying, we're not going to acknowledge God at this place that we educate kids. And then people who say they do acknowledge God send their kids to the place. And then have to deal with the contradiction with their kids. Just presenting evidence. That's all I'm doing. Taking knowledge of God from the public squares. Anything that had God's name on it, they begin to pull out of parks, pull out of public places. Removing his Ten Commandments from the courtroom and the public squares. Literally come and hauling it off. And the church says nothing. Removing the manger scenes of the birth of Jesus during Christmas from all public places. Covering crosses in parks in the middle of nowhere because they didn't want the recognition, the acknowledgement of God in that park. Trying to stop nations on the National Day of Prayer, proclaiming to the world, to America, its leader saying, America is no longer a Christian nation. And after he said this, they voted for him and put him in office. After he said that. After he said, I don't acknowledge him. They put him in. The fact is, America originally thought it was so worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God when they wrote the Constitution of the United States, the U.S. Constitution, that they wrote in there that this nation was founded on the knowledge of God, that we each were created by our Creator, and that the government should have nothing to do to interfere with any of the worship of the church. When Harvard and Yale was first established, it was established for people to learn the Word of God. Now you can't even get the acknowledgement of God in these places. Oh, you can get religion in them, but Jesus. I think the evidence says that even the third phase, they didn't think it was worthwhile. What's the big difference if God's name was known or if it's not known? It's a personal thing, you know. Let's check out the judgment. If that has happened, and evidence is that it has happened, as I'm telling you what's going on, and it goes on for a long list, this is what he does. He says, furthermore, since they did not think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind. Isn't it amazing that this generation is the biggest users of emotional altering drugs and any other prescribed drugs, Prozacs and all these different drugs? Because the mind is just... Does my mind function determine... Is how I obey God, does that have anything to do with my mind? Does the way I think and my way I obey, do I think I'm going to go crazy? Well, does my mind become depraved? Oh my goodness, he says he turns them over to a mind that just goes crazy. What's a depraved mean? Depraved means corrupt, wicked, or perverted. To make morally bad or evil. Abandon. Bad, degenerate, dirty, dirty-minded, evil, filthy, gone to the dogs, kinky, lewd, perverted, shameless. Sinful, twisted, unnatural, vile. You see, you're trying to get somebody to change their behavior because they're vile and they're wicked and they're kinky and their mind's just twisted. But you don't understand, they're under judgment. You just need to preach truth to them and let them honor their decision. God does. God packed the prodigal's bags and sent him on his way. Turned him over to himself. God did it to Israel. Hosea chapter 2. Just let him go on his way. What you're looking at on that person, that pervertedness and that corruptness in their mind, that depraved mind, is judgment of God on their life. They're not going to be able to put two and two together. Their mind is corrupt. You're trying to get logic out of a depraved mind. Allow God's judgment to work. Preach truth. Preach truth. Live truth. Live a righteous life before them. And so he goes on to say, he says, shameless. And look at this. Look at the second part. Tell me this does not describe today. Even in the church, it describes. He goes on to say, furthermore, verse 28, since they did not think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. How many parents are going, you ought not to be doing that? Well, yeah. How many spouses are saying to their spouse, you ought not to be doing that? Well, yes. How many people are trying to speak into somebody's life who has a deprived mind? Say, you ought not to be doing that. They go, yeah, God turned me over to this deprived mind because I wouldn't repent. Have you come to the end of yourself yet? It's only going to get worse till you do, because he loves you. He's not going to give up on you. Verse 29. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness. It sounds like the days of Noah, don't it? 24/7, their minds were evil. Even though he preached 125 years, they didn't respond. And the only ones that were saved were the ones who made a decision for God. Noah and his family. He said, they become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanders, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. This is all wickedness. But these are like the practices today. These things happen today, and people are like, this is just how we are. It's like, well, that means you're wicked. You need to repent from that. That's sin. You need to turn to God. That's not how God's people are supposed to be. He says 32, he says, although they know God, think about that. Every one of these judgments are people that know God. And there he goes, although they know God's righteous decrees, in other words, they know what God says, that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Think about it. What is he saying here? He's saying, listen, the last phase of judgment is literally an autobiography of today's church. It's crazy what's going on. The lying, the cheating, the stealing. You know, he says to hate someone is to murder them. The hate that's going on. And all the disobeying parents and the perversion and the more than a hint of sexual immorality. The dishonoring of God. The not acknowledging him. The exchanging the truth for a lie. Oh my goodness. So the evidence is in. The evidence is in. You think about it. What do you do? Well, he tells you right there. He says, not only do you do these things, but you approve of those who do it. Listen, if you don't sit back and say that's not right when you know it's not right. In other words, when you don't say truth, when you hear a lie, guess what? You just approved of that. Omission or commission, they're all the same. When the devil lies, you speak truth, but you do it in love. No, I'm not telling you to hate anybody. They might feel hated because they're wanting to go with the wickedness. I'm not telling you that. God loves that person and wants that person to repent. So you present it in a way that God, the Holy Spirit, leads you. But you tell the truth. You tell the truth. Even if you're left alone, you tell the truth. Because God is with you. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So we can't sit back and just approve. You know, what's the big deal? It's okay, you know, to have practicing homosexual ministers in the church. No, it's not. It's not okay. You need to go tell them the truth. You need to bring them to a place of repentance. It's not okay for you to be looking at internet pornography and all those movies and DVDs that you're looking at and on your phone. It's not okay for you to dishonor God with his tithes and his offerings. It's not okay for you to dishonor your husband or to dishonor your wife or your parent. It's just not okay. It's sin. It's wickedness. It's wickedness. Remember, we looked it up, the definition. That's what wickedness is. And so the big question is what do you do? What's the final decision? What's the final decision? I'm just presenting evidence. That's all I'm doing. I'm presenting the case. Well, by the preponderance of the evidence is what they would say in the courthouse. In other words, the overwhelmingness of the evidence that I have presented this case, the word and the will of God and his scriptures, God's truth, absent from today's church, suppressed. Those who say they know God, but are not giving God glory, not being thankful or grateful for his provision and protection and blessing in their life. Futile thinking is their way of life. They are saturated with sexual immorality. Internet usage spends an average of 14, internet users, excuse me, spend 14.6 minutes per minute per day viewing internet pornography, saturated with sexual immorality, 359,000 users of the internet. All of God's truth that has been replaced by lies. But we made the case, remember? These are the case. Not all of God's truth, but a lot of God's truth has been replaced by lies. The worship and serving of people, places, jobs, and things rather than serving God. The open and accepted practice of homosexuality, open and accepted practice of homosexual marriages, open and accepted practice of homosexual leaders, homosexual adoption, and homosexual soldiers, just openly accepting that. And not thinking that it's worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. I'm just telling you, this is what we presented. This is the evidence. not thinking it's worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God in the public and private lives of the people. And all are open and accepted to what? Envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slander, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil ways, disobedient to parents, senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. It leaves us no alternative but to conclude one thing, that America is under the judgment of God. We're under the judgment of God. America is under the judgment of God. If we don't repent, it will only get worse. It's not going to get better. We're not going to think our way out of this. We're not going to politicize our way. We're not going to vote the right person in office to get out of this. We're going to have to repent. Judgment is not from a hateful God writing a nation off. Remember that. Judgment is a loving God wanting to write your name and that nation's name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what it is. Judgment is a loving God saying, return to me. Return to my ways. To me, to the evidence, and it has to be to you now. It appears the nation's under judgment. So what do we do? It's important. We don't leave it there. What do we do? Well, Isaiah 26:9, we understood it. He told us. He said, when God's judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. We need to learn the lesson of what I'm telling you. We got to learn that wickedness is not accepted by God. I know that we've been in a culture that is so watered down that, like, how about if you're just 20% wicked? Would that actually? No. We've got to begin to separate ourselves and say, no, that's not us. That's not us. We've got to cut things out of our life. Gouge things out. Cut things off. So what do? We learn righteousness. We learn what I'm saying. And I started with this, and I want to close with this. 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. God said this. He says, when I judge a nation, he says, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour your economy, command locusts to devour your land, and send a plague, 1 in 5 of your college kids are getting sexual transmitted diseases. And I send a plague among my people. If, say that with me, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's the wickedness we talked about for his whole teaching. He said, then I'll hear from heaven and he'll forgive you. He'll wash it away like it's never happened. As far as the east of the west, he says, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins. And guess what? He will heal America. There's hope. But the hope is in Jesus Christ and the church turning back to him as the Lord of their life. Let's pray. Jesus, Lord, I thank you, God, that you didn't leave us without truth. I thank you, Lord, that there is a way out. I thank you, Lord, that you've shown us your ways and that the judgments that are coming to nations, that are coming to families, that are coming to a people, it's only because you're wanting us to turn back to you, God. But that happens when we actually speak truth and preach truth. Lord, forgive us for allowing wickedness to stay in our presence or even in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, for not living a holy life and having a very low expectation as a life of one of your sons or one of your daughters when your expectations are high for us. Lord, forgive us, Lord, for worshiping other gods. Forgive us for not willing to let spouses go who refuse to turn to you. Forgive us for not willing to let children go who refuse to turn to you. Forgive us for not letting parents go who refuse to turn to you. Forgive us for not letting friends go who refuse to turn to you, who stay in their wicked ways. Forgive us, God, for not putting you first. Forgive us, Lord, for not honoring you. Forgive us, Lord, for not being thankful and grateful. Forgive us, Lord, for not being fruitful. Lord, forgive us for our sexual immorality and the perversion and the pornography and the movies and the TVs and the internets and the cell phones and all those different ways that it happens, God. Forgive the church, Lord, who's dressed naked. A sexual immoral spirit has taught them to dress. They're drawn, Lord God, to these sexual immoral stores that are about a little is better than a lot when it comes to clothes. God, forgive us, God. Forgive us for not calling wickedness wickedness. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for yelling and screaming and criticizing our harvest. Help us, Lord, to love everybody that you love. Help us, Lord, to understand when somebody's turned over to something, it's not for destroying of them, but it's for the destroying of their flesh, that they would turn back in hopes that they would turn back to you. Lord, help us, God. Grace us, God, to be willing to cut things out of our life that would lead us to sin, for we want to be with you forever. And forgive us for a placebo gospel that makes people feel good, but doesn't bring them into your presence, but sends them straight to hell. Lord, I pray, give us platforms to share your truth, that your truth would set this nation free. Once again, a city on a hill, a righteous city on a hill, because of you, Jesus.
If you haven't yet met Father God through his Son, Jesus Christ, let me introduce you to him at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. For more teachings like this from myself, Greg Lancaster, and others, go to VFNTV.com. You can also download the VFN TV app by searching your mobile phone app store or by going to VFNTV.com. And you'll be able to join us at VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're seeking to educate ourselves on what is taking place in today's world, to illuminate it with God's perspective from his word, and inspire you in your daily walk with the Lord and to activate you in your destiny with God that he's called you to. For more information, go to VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the daily VFN radio program is brought to you by partners of Greg Lancaster Ministries at greglancasterministries.org.